NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right. Welcome into hour two. If you've been listening, we appreciate your support and being here with us. If you're just tuning in, you missed a fun, a fun-filled first hour of Up on Game. If you want to check it out, make sure you go to wherever podcasts are or download it. You can get Up on Game. Make sure you check out Up on Game Presents as well to get the latest episodes from there. All right, before we went to the break, coming into the hour, we were talking about the hirings and firings, and is this a racial situation? All right, now I'm going to look at the David Culley firing, and I'm going to offer this perspective. I think before I would ever touch race with this one, I think the bigger piece of I guess sensibility to me would be you brought in a guy. Now, if we recall going back into last year, part of the reason why Deshaun Watson said he did not want to return to Houston was because he was not consulted over who they were going to hire as the head coach. Then they hire a black head coach, which I believe they felt as though they were solving the issue and could potentially resolve the beef or the issues between Deshaun and the organization, which eventually led to, you know, more things that came out as it applied to Deshaun personally. But as an organization, the one thing that I'll say is the fan base and their bottom line, and not in that order, the bottom line and the fan base because of how important the bottom line is, are the most important things to an organization and to the people who run it, just like any other business. Now, when you have a team that's as poor as Houston has been, and they make the firing of O'Brien when they did, and they limp out of the season, you try to make a big hire, it turns into something that falls apart in your face. And now you're trying to sell hope. So you hire David Culley. It's a feel-good hire. He was not on the highest of list of potential candidates to take over as a head coach, but nonetheless was very, very widely respected, long-tenured coach, and paid his dues to earn the right to have this chance. When they fail to play well this year, I think it's not about him as the color of his skin. I don't even think that it's, you know, his coaching background. I think it has everything to do with ticket sales. It has everything to do with selling sponsors and people that are going to basically put their money into what this business is. If you lose that, if you're not performing as a talent, if we're not performing as talents on this time slot, as much as Scott and Don like us and believe in us, we're not going to have this show. We're not going to be around. And it's not going to be based upon us being people of color. It's going to be based upon us not delivering content that leads to us making money for the company. I feel like I'm not wrong on this, but I will say that we are now down to one head coach that is of color, a black head coach, and I won't say one head of color because we got a few, you know, Riverboat Ron is still coaching, but one black coach remains, if I'm correct, and that's Coach Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Do you guys see it as being a racial problem? Or do you look at it as – now, I don't know what happened in Miami. I don't get that. They have been winning. It seemed as though he was changing the culture of what was taking place in Miami. That one kind of – you know, people are trying to say it was relationships. But, you know, I don't know why that took place. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that this is a racial problem that is driving this? Or is this a we don't want to lose money or something else, other problem.
Lose money. Let's specifically talk Houston right now. What did they expect to do? Their best player, Deshaun Watson, didn't play all year. What did they expect Cully to do? They brought him in hoping he's a black coach. Maybe he can convince Deshaun Watson to play. Oh, he can't convince him to play with us? Okay, he's going to be one and done. They had already decided that.
I don't disagree with that.
Philosophically, we're not on the same page. If they told Cully, who was a lifetime assistant coach, he wasn't even a coordinator in all the years he's coached, I want you to punt the ball on first down. He would have punted the ball on first down. They told him, I want you to take a knee and let him score because we want to lose it. He probably would have done it. So philosophically, not on the same page. That's not true. Just say you want to fire him. Don't make up this BS that philosophically we're not on the same page, because he waited his entire life to be a head coach, finally got a job, and philosophically you're not on the same page. He would have done whatever you told him to do, and it sucks, but that's just the truth. What is he going to win with? He doesn't have the players to win.
And they fought hard towards the end of the year.
Considering what they had. Tyrod Taylor was their starter. He's been a career backup. Davis Mills was a third-round pick, a rookie. He ended up being their starter. How many third-rounders come in and start as a rookie and do well without a great defense and run game? So that perspective. But is it about race? Certain things are. Let's just be honest. Certain things are. But Joe Judge is a white dude. He was just fired after 2 years. So is that about race? And so you can look at so many different factors and say, oh, yeah, it's about race, when we want it to be our race, when the qualifiers fit what we're trying to get across. I would like to see more African-American coaches in the league, because there's plenty that are qualified. There's plenty that will do a great job. There's plenty that know what they're doing. And so Tomlin has shown that. He's never had a losing season. How many coaches in the National Football League can coach as long as they have? And look how many years Mike Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh. Has never, ever had a losing season. So, but he's with an organization that is stable, that is functional, that does things right from the top to the bottom. All this turnover, it's not just the coach. It's the people that's causing the turnover, and that's the guys upstairs.
So when the NFL adopted this whole Rooney Rule situation, it was every team has to interview a black or brown candidate for any opening position. What the hell does that mean? I guess Riverboat Ron falls under the category of being a brown person.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Listen, it's not about race for every organization, but I believe there is race involved in a few organizations, and they've shown that. They put it out there for us to see through what they're saying without actually saying it. Mm. Now, getting back to the whole Houston situation, the Houston Texans, their organization, let's highlight the men who are responsible for the demise of this organization.
Uh-oh.
Cal McNair and Nick Caserio. And the main player in this whole thing is now currently – the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and his name is Bill O'Brien.
Hey, you trade D. Hop.
He is the man that destroyed this organization. In 2019, you blow a 24-point lead down in Kansas City in the AFC Divisional Championship game.
How you do that?
What do? You trade for Laremy Tunsil from the Miami Dolphins. You get him. You make him the highest paid offensive lineman in football. Now he's $26 million against the cap. You trade away Hopkins for a second and a fourth round pick and for David Johnson. What do? You replace him with Brandon Cooks. That's not an upgrade at the position. You don't sign DJ Reader in free agency. You let him go to Cincinnati. You trade away Jadeveon Clowney to the Seattle Seahawks. J.J. Watt walks upstairs and says, listen, I'm not in the rebuilding stage. I only have a few more good years of football ahead of me. Can y'all please let me walk out the door? They let him go out the door, and he goes to Arizona. But when Deshaun Watson walks upstairs and says he doesn't want to play for the Houston Texans, what do? You're not going anywhere. And now you talk about David Culley. This man has 43 years of experience in the NFL. You think this man don't know what he's doing? What you expect? You expect him to walk in there and be Don Shula and just go, 17-0? That's not going to happen. You gave this man an opportunity. And this organization continues to show just how classless they really are. This is the same owner we're talking about. Just a few months ago, who said, you know, COVID-19 is an Asian virus a few months ago. And last but not least, this is still the same owner that came out and said, we cannot let the inmates run the prison.
Yes, he did. Yes,
can't let the inmates run the asylum. Sure did.
That's what he said. Ooh, that's a hell of an argument. I got to say, it kind of sounds eerily similar to what has gone on in Washington. But that, now look at what social justice did. The man who said he would never change the name of the team ends up having to change the team. He ends up hiring minorities to run the organization, and Eric Wright, he hires a minority as the head coach of the team. Now, with that being said, he did put Terry Rubisky at an interim head coach when he fired North in 2000, my rookie year. But some of the things that you're saying sound in some ways similar to that. Now, again, I want to be clear on this. I do think that there needs to be inclusion. I'm not saying for any moment in time that there shouldn't be more inclusion in terms of what the jobs look like and who are filling those positions. I just know this. These guys want to make their money and they want to win. And when I look at certain situations, it confuses me as to how some of these guys get the head coaching jobs to begin with. You build your reputation up for the opportunity to take larger steps in your profession. That's what anybody does in everyday life. So when you look at some of these guys that end up getting these jobs, you can't say that. Is it more of colluding? You know, is it more of nepotism versus anything else? Because to me, I ask myself the question, if I owned a team, how would I go about running that team? And for me, I know I want to run something in a way where I'm getting results. So I'm going to measure and I'm going to weigh things out from how well the person is going to do the job. When I put together and we talked through doing this show, I didn't talk through this saying, let's put three black dudes on radio and let's give the black man's perspective. I said, I want us to be fearless and very, very upfront and candid about what our thoughts are based off of our walks in life in terms of what we've experienced. So to me, I do a show all week with two white dudes. You know what I mean? And our conversations are our conversations. I think that they're impactful. I think that they're informative. I think they're funny. No different than when I cracked the mic with you guys. So it's kind of like, for me, is it crazy to think that I want results? I don't want to look at it and say, I can only achieve these results if I work with this race of people. It sounds kind of remedial. It sounds kind of uninformed. It just sounds flat out ignorant. So I try to understand, where does that come from? Is it just purely based, I'm going to hire somebody who looks like me, who talks like me, it makes sense that way, and that's why I want to run that direction with it? I don't know. Because to judge somebody based on the color of their skin at this point in society, in 2021, you got to be one removed person from reality. You have got to be one distorted in terms of image of what the world around you looks like if you're still basing someone's quality and somebody's value and their worth based off of just the pure just the appearance of person that you're going to hire.
You know, I will say this. It does seem to me that these NFL owners and these organizations, the first interview for that team, it seems to be African American. It seems to be black. And it's telling me that these organizations, they already have their mind up of who they want to hire to be the head coach of that football team. And Tony Dungy said a few years ago, I think that they're really just checking the box of what the rule is. Because the African-American coaches are the first ones to be interviewed by these organizations, but in the back of their mind, that interview is not going to change what they already believe to hire for their head coach. That's what I believe. And to piggyback off of what LeVar said, when they interview Bruce Arians, the media, they ask him, say, so why is, 90% of your coaching staff black? And he said, listen, I don't hire off of color. I hire the best people that I know for the job. And that should be the mindset for these owners and GMs. Because if you look at what he's doing, and Byron Leftwich is down being interviewed by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now Todd Bowles is a tremendous coach. Now he's been interviewed for the Minnesota Vikings. It has nothing to do with color. If you can coach, you can coach. And if you can play, you can play the game. And that's the mindset that these owners need to have looking forward, and just put it all to bed and give these men the opportunity that they deserve.
Yeah, well said. All right, listen, we got Wild Card Weekend coming up. We got Legendary Moment coming up, and Up on Game, Down on Games. Yeah, we'll continue that conversation. I'm sure that one isn't going anywhere. So we'll be revisiting that at some point in time. You're listening to Up on Game. That's TJ Hushman's out of Plexico Birds. I'm LeVar Arrington. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to get a legendary moment. All right, guys. Yeah. Welcome back into the show. We coming in hot. Hey, I just had to hear that bass come in before I start. Yeah, sometimes.
You funny.
Sometimes you got to get that fire. Sam be bringing them beats, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's not waste any time. This week, I was with Gary Cobb. Super, super dope dude, man. I loved every moment of the conversation we had. Loved the moments that we've had. Obviously, he and I went through the transitional coaches certifications together for the league. Did the NFL Legends Community launch together as well. He's one of the regional directors. So he has some cool things to say. I thought this was one of the coolest things he had to say. Let's take a listen. Legendary moment.
Up on Game presents Conversations with a Legend. And now, this is your legendary moment.
You are an overachiever, and I relate to that. So mm-hmm. I love hearing the stories of an overachiever. And you're a linebacker that was overachieving. I mean, and just like I had to do at times, we had to do the defensive end thing. But we always had to be ready. What was that like? What take me through your mindset? Like, how did you approach being Gary Cobb? What did that represent? What did that mean?
Well, the big thing that I like, I kind of get ready for, the shows I do, in preparing, first of all, studying what the other team does.
Mm-hmm.
I love to sit down, look at tape of them. And, in practice and things, when we're competing against each other, I love the aggression. I love to be able to, I let guys know. In fact, I remember coming in the league and I told guys, hey, look, man, I got a family to feed. So don't come near me out there because I got to handle my business. Mm-hmm. So, and we were able to do more than guys could do now.
Oh, I get it.
So I didn't have no problem. I'm trying to break your neck,
yes.
Your back, and everything.
Different era.
I mean, you could just let it all out.
I'm trying to touch your life forever.
I want to affect your future.
Yes.
If you come in my area, you coming through there. Yeah, and that's the way that's where I was taught to play the linebacker position.
That's right.
You got to be the aggression of the defense.
That's right.
You're the force of the defense. When people go, okay, the defense, when them linebackers come out, when you walk out there, where people, when they even get near you, they go, okay, guys start swallowing.
They scary.
Because they know we getting ready to get serious. I'm coming at you. And when that line, when I'm following you down the line and I'm staying, I'm a step behind that running back. When you try to cut back up in there in that hole, I'm coming out of that ground.
That's right.
I'm coming out of the ground because I'm coming out of my legs and everything. I'm coming up all the way through you.
That's right.
I'm going to run all the way through you like an arrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuck, like you stuck. And
come on, talk to him, Kyle.
And when you're hitting people like that, you know, I like doing it in practice.
Them woo licks.
Get them woo licks where you know, and you, all you got to do is step back. You know that, look, this boy here is trying to find out where he is. Who
That's
is
right.
He?
That's right.
Because... And he ain't coming through here no more like that. You know, all of a sudden now.
Now he tippy toe. Now it's tippy toe time. Tippy you know? Toe. That's right. That's right.
So, and you know, and that's the way you know that you take the other team out of their game, man.
Man, that's Gary Cobb right there. That's just a little bit of linebacker talk right there. I mean, if y'all could tell, I usually just let dudes talk, but. He had me so hyped up when we were talking.
That's funny, man.
I mean, the mentality
of an
old. You
step back and you see that look. Mm.
I mean, that's crazy. Have y'all ever experienced a linebacker like that? Both from the AFC North?
No. Yeah, me and Plax, we wasn't scared, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you.
Oh, no.
When we played, it was one of those things. You knew going across the middle, you was going to get hit. I knew I was going to get hit. I was not afraid of it because whether I catch the ball or I don't catch the ball, I'm getting hit. So I want to catch the ball. And so I never focused on, I'm nervous about getting hit. It's coming regardless. And that was just my mentality. And Plex had the same mentality. And so when you see guys go across the middle and they flinch and they look up and they're nervous, I'm like, bro, you're going to get hit anyway. They can't even hit you today. Play the ball and whatever happens, happens. But I was never one – to be afraid to get hit. But I have taken some hits that I wish I didn't take, but it comes with the territory.
Absolutely. Hey, I done took a few. You like, oh, my goodness, these guys, he ain't playing today. Yeah, man, listen. Trust me, man. But, you know, that's why I made all my money over the middle, man, because you know a lot of guys don't want to go over there and
they
catch that football.
When that
16-yard dig route is 12 feet in the air, and you know you got to go up there and get it. It's like 3rd and 15.
Hey, what's, man, going through y'all's head? What's going through your head? Like, what when you got to run that dig, and you know that there might be a Sean Taylor or Ed Reed, or a Polamalu, or, man, you know, somebody. What's going through y'all's head?
Man, listen, I remember one game. I was at the line of scrimmage, and we were playing the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. And I don't know – well, I know y'all know who this guy is. The guy's name was Sammy Knight.
Sammy Knight.
Yep. And they line up
Went
in
to
the
SC.
Cover two. Yeah. They line up in the cover two when I'm the XY receiver on the short side of the football field. And he looks at me, and he gives me the dig signal like, yeah, come on in here. Like, I'm going to tear your helmet off. And and it's the exact route that I got, and I'm like, oh my god, he knows I'm going in there. You know what I mean? All this is going through your mind. He look at you. He's like, yeah, come in here. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, well, he know I'm going in there, and I gotta go in there. So I think, you know, just being at the line of scrimmage at that time and knowing the ball is coming to you, and he know it's coming. You just, hey, man, you know you're going to get hit anyway, so you might as well make the play. Mm.
Well, you might as well make the play. In fact, I love that legendary moment. I love hearing receivers talk about how they got to deal with the stress and the pressures of not having stress and pressure on you to go make the play. You know what? Speaking of stress and pressure, it's very stressful and a lot of pressure to deliver an update, but I got to believe that our guy Ralphie, he's got the shoulders to do it, man. I just feel good about this, that you're going to deliver even though there might be a backer out there trying to take you out while you're trying to give your update, Ralphie.
And if I don't have the shoulders, I'll just wear those LeVar Arrington college shoulder pads. Those things
are
big enough to carry
ginormous.
Carry a house. We got top 25 college basketball action right now. Number 10, Michigan State hosting Northwestern. It's a good one. 11:45 to play in the second half, tied at 46. While Kansas State has taken a 43-41 lead over number 19 Texas Tech. 9.5 to go in the second half. They're 9.5 to go in at Milwaukee. where number 20 Seton Hall has taken a 59-54 lead over Marquette. 10-16 to play in the second half. Number 17 Xavier, a 50-49 lead over Creighton. And 7:54 to go in the first half. Number 18 Kentucky out to a fast 32-25 lead over number 22 Tennessee. Coming up later today, Super Wild Card Weekend. It starts with the Raiders in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. That'll kick off again 4:30 Eastern. Temperatures there in the mid-30s. Meanwhile, it's going to be a lot colder in Buffalo as the Bills host New England. 8:15 kickoff and supposedly 7 degrees at kickoff, and that's before you kick in that wind chill. Josh Allen, no problem, right?
I think the most important thing for me is I don't know why I got bad circulation within my feet. My toes get really cold and they go numb a little bit, so it's keeping those suckers as warm and as dry as possible, as well as the hands. Obviously, that's a big emphasis for quarterbacks. You need your hands to throw, so keeping those extremities as warm as possible. I'm not a big sleeve guy. I think it hurts in the run game in terms of holding on to the football, and I've learned that throughout the course of my career so far. So again, just on the sideline, sitting on the benches and trying to stay as warm as possible.
Bart Scott's got advice.
Josh Allen listening. Can people get this message to him? Viagra.
There it is. Here's one thing, though. I did some research, gentlemen.
Side effects include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. Stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease or loss in vision or hearing.
So no wonder a linebacker wants a quarterback to have bad vision.
Yeah.
If Bart Scott knows that Josh Allen has got, has taken that tonight, you know what Josh or Bart Scott's saying?
What's that?
Can't wait.
There you go.
Can't wait. Thank you, Ralphie. Thank you.
Ralphie off the chain today,
yeah,
man.
Ralph off the chain. All right. You got anything else?
No, sir. But you know what? I do owe you that.
There you go. Come on, let's get it.
We going up on game.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. Yeah, it's the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, competition, it's always on. No one does sports like Vegas. And the excitement is endless. So make sure you plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. All right, fellas, let's get to it. Up on game, down on game. Let's do it.
Games for Wild Card Weekend. And I'm going to give you guys the options here. You can either take the points or you can just pick a winner outright. It's fine. And I'll also give you the over-unders for the totals.
I'm doing both.
Okay, there we go. That's what we like.
God. Let's do it. Always got to show off.
Let's do it. He don't win much. Let's go.
You're crazy. I win all the time.
First one here, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. That is Raiders at Bengals. Bengals are favored -6 here. Over-under is 48.5. So LeVar.
Hey, wait. Hey, Ryan. Yes, Ryan, yes, real yes. quick. Where are you getting your lines from?
From the four-letter network from ESPN.
Yeah, you got to go to Fox.
Get off that man back, man.
You got to go to Fox Sports Bet, man. The line is 4.5 now. Man,
4.5 on Fox Bet?
Can we run the segment, please?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, Ryan, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
TJ is a hater because he's going to lose. That's why.
I'm just saying it's 4.5. You got to go to Fox.
I'm taking over. I'm taking over on the points, the 48.5. They're going to score more than that. And I'm taking the Bengals. They're going to win, and they're going to cover.
Man, I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals in the over. LeVar, I sent them my notes. He's looking right at them. So, yeah, we're on the same page.
I'm taking the Bengals in the under.
Ooh. Okay.
Perfect. All right, next up here, Patriots at Bills. Bills favored -4.5. Over-under is 43.5. TJ, we'll start with you.
I'm taking the Bills, and I'm going under.
I'm taking the Bills and I'm going to under. The weather's going to be terrible.
Who they playing again?
The Patriots.
Once, twice, three times.
I'm taking the Patriots and I'm taking the under.
Good.
Excellent.
I hate to say it.
All right, we'll go to the Sunday games here. The first one on Sunday will be on Fox, and that is Eagles at Buccaneers. Bucks favored -8.5, over under of 46. Plax, we'll start with you.
I'm taking Tampa Bay, and I'm taking under 46. Tom Brady doesn't have all his weapons on the perimeter, and the Eagles are going to run the football. But I'm taking the Bucs and the under.
I'm taking the Eagles to win this game. This is my upset alert of the week, and it's going to be under on the points.
The Eagles will not win the game. Absolutely have no chance to win the game.
Yeah.
But I'm actually taking the Eagles to cover in the under.
Excellent, excellent. All right, next up here, Niners at Cowboys. Cowboys favored -3. Over under is 51.
This one's an upset alert too. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm taking the Cowboys. I'm taking the over, but you know,
I don't know. He always want to cover his tracks.
He's taking over. Yeah. On the
I said it was an upset alert.
It is an upset alert. But it ain't going to be one. I told y'all my upset alert that's confirmed. This one could be one, but it ain't going to be one. So that's what I'm saying. Go ahead. Go ahead.
As sad as it may sound, I'm looking for the Dallas Cowboys to come out and have one of their best games all year. You know, that defense has to come out and, you know, obviously, Deebo Samuel's a handful. But I'm going Cowboys. And I'm going over the points. I think it's going to be like a 27-30 game. Dallas is going to win by 3.
Well, that would be a push. I'm taking the Cowboys. And I believe also that the game will go over. I just like the Cowboys. A lot of people are picking the Niners. I don't think, as LeVar's pupil has said, he's from where the bullies get bullied.
Ew.
I'm rolling with the Cowboys.
Yes, he did. He did say the bullies get bullied in Harrisburg.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Before we get to the next one here, I just want to point out I've pulled up the Fox Bet lines. I've got those going. TJ, Fox Bet does have Bengals -6 for Raiders.
I'm glad you corrected him.
Yeah,
I'm glad you corrected him.
Ryan, thank you.
No.
I'm glad you corrected
him, Ryan.
They probably moved.
Yes, it was on Monday.
Okay.
It was 6.5.
On Monday? Today's Saturday.
Listen, guys. It was 6.5. I think a lot of money came in on the Raiders. It dropped. And now people are starting to bet on the Bengals, so it went back up.
There it is.
I'm just letting y'all know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Of course, you got?
Still going to lose.
Next up, Steelers at Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs are favored -13 here. Over-under is 45.5. So, TJ, we'll start with you on this one.
I'm going Kansas City Chiefs. They are going to pretty much manhandle the Steelers. And I'm going to take the under on the points because I don't see the Chiefs scoring 45.
Man, I just don't see how any team can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by 14 points in the playoffs. I think Mike Tomlin's going to have that defense ready to go. I didn't say they were going to win the game, but I don't believe – that the Kansas City Chiefs will cover the spread.
Hey, Plexico.
So I'm going to go with the Steelers with the spread, and I'm going over the points.
Hey, if I told you that every playoff team that has been favored by double digits has never lost and they've covered every single time, would you change your pick?
Ooh, well, I wouldn't ask you.
Take that, and you can't beat that with a bat.
Why am I going to ask you?
Hey, that's a good.
Your organization ain't won a playoff game in 30 years.
Ryan, is that not a good stat?
That's super interesting. Yes, that's a really good number.
See, all right, you got to do your research.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going exactly with what Plexico just said.
Good.
They will not beat them by more than 2 touchdowns, and I'm going to take the over on the points.
Good.
All right, perfect. Last one here is Cardinals at Rams on Monday night. Rams favored -4. Over-under is 49.5. So, Plex, we'll start with you.
Man, I am still waiting on my Rams to have a breakout game defensively. Come on, Von Miller, wake up. You got a championship defense over there. You got the best defensive tackle in all of football. You got a shutdown corner. Go out there and get 3 sacks. I'm taking the Rams with the spread. They're my NFC going to the championship game, and I'm taking over the points.
I'm taking the over, and I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams. They were my preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl. I don't like the way they've been playing, but the playoffs is a whole nother different ball game. Matthew Stafford got to show up and not give the ball to the opposing team. Rams and over.
I'm taking Arizona to win straight up, but over on the total. There's my second upset.
You know, he's like, man, I can't go with them guys.
Yeah.
Nope, can't do it.
He's going to have a bad week.
He's going to have a horrible week. You had three horrible choices.
Okay, well, we shall see.
Hey, who won last week, Ryan? Ryan, who won last week?
Last week, LeVar and TJ, you guys both went 2-2 on your picks. Plax, you went 3-1. And you guys all got your totals. You guys all went 3-0 on totals. It was very impressive.
We all went 0-3?
3-0.
Over the course of the season.
I went 3-1 last week.
I know I'm in first place.
No way.
3-1 last week.
No way.
Yes.
I'm easily ahead of y'all.
No.
Easily ahead of y'all.
I went 3-1 last week.
All right, we'll be back. We'll be right back. Don't listen to all that trash talk that's taking place. I am the best at this. You want to win, listen to what I had to say. Go back to the podcast and check it out. On the other side of the break, we're going to have a little crosstalk with another Pittsburgher, my homie.
Pittsburgher.
The hardest workers in the business. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with Joy Taylor. You're listening to Up On Game. TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris, LeVar Arrington. We'll be right back.
Talking trash.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. As promised, we knocked down our crosstalk. I mean, we kind of knocked down the buildings like Rampage, like the old school video game that you used to play in the arcade. I used to love playing because I was really good at knocking down the buildings. Clearly, TJ and Plexico are pretty good at it. So now we're going to bring in one more player to the game, and, well, she can continue to knock down the buildings that are left because, Joy, I mean, we kind of took over the town and was stomping them down. But we're going to turn it over to you. What you got coming up on the show?
Well, it's wild card playoff weekend, so we're going to preview all the games. There's not a bad game on this list. I guess people would argue the Steelers, Chiefs, because they're such big underdogs. But, it's still interesting. You know, Ben says they can just go out there and play for fun because nobody's giving them a chance. So, and obviously I'm going to watch because it's the Steelers. But there's some great games this weekend. And, there's a lot of coaching openings. And, there's a lot to discuss there with Mike Tomlin being the
only one left.
Only black head coach left in the NFL.
Yeah. Okay, now that sounds pretty interesting. Do you have any upset alerts on your – or are you saving it for your show?
No, I mean, I think you got to pick at least one upset. All the favorites are not going to win here. I mean, I think Niners-Cowboys is probably the most
– that's a flammable one.
Cardinals-Rams, too. Cardinals are a great road
that's
team.
That's a good one.
All the pressure is on Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford cannot play terribly this weekend. If they lose in the first round of the playoffs, it's gonna be a rough couple months for Matthew Stafford. But also, it's Patriots, Bills. There's a lot.
LeVar said the Eagles are gonna be the upset over the Bucks.
I got Arizona winning too.
LeVar asked Joy that question because he would hope he was hoping would agree with him the 49er was the upset alert. That's why you asked her the question.
No, but she did say that Arizona Cardinals. She threw the Arizona Cardinals out there. I picked the Arizona Cardinals to win. So that is not true. And as far as the Philadelphia Eagles, I am a lone wolf on that one, and I'm going to ride that.
Eagles are the number one rushing team in the league.
Yes, they are.
And
talk
they are also the number – they're number one in big plays in the league.
Talk to them, Joy.
So
see, that's why I bang with
rough
you.
Rough weather. It's entirely possible. I mean, I'm going to ride with Tom Brady in that game, but
I'm going with the GOAT.
They are capable of winning that game.
Again, it's going to come down to who wins in the trenches. And if you're paying attention, the Philadelphia Eagles are not bad in that category. So just giving y'all something to look at. That's all.
I just think Ndamukong Suh and JPP going to take that personally.
Is JPP even playing? Is he even in the game? I don't even know if he's in the game. I don't even know if he's going to have an impact.
Game, coach.
Hey, I'll tell you what. All this and more you're going to get. Stay tuned. Listen to Joy Taylor on Joy Taylor's show. She's going to keep y'all. She's going to walk y'all into the game. So we hope y'all enjoyed us on the air. Make sure you stay tuned in. Subscribe to our podcast, all that good stuff, all right? This is us. This is Up On Game. It's TJ Hushmanzada. It's Plexico Burrs. I'm LeVar Arrington. We are humbly turning the show over to someone who could only do it after us, right? Only the strong can pull this weight after us. That's Joy Taylor. Hey, make sure you stay tuned in. Y'all enjoy y'all weekend. Take care.
Peace.